Welcome in, kingly brothers and heroic husbands from around the planet. Welcome to this new episode of the Be the Husband She Brags About podcast. This is the one podcast where everything we do, we say, we express aims to support you become the marriage transforming hero of your relationship. In today's episode, I'm doing a deep dive on subconscious intention. This is the one part of your psyche, of your mind, that is driving the wheel of your mind. The vehicle of your mind goes where your subconscious mind tells it to go. And this is a real danger point in marriage and in life. It's running the show until you bring it conscious. It's all pervasive in every single one of you listening in. You all have a subconscious mind that is driving your behaviors, driving the way you show up. The major issue with the subconscious mind and the subconscious intention, I'll break down what subconscious and intention are meaning. The major issue with it is it's subconscious. And as I say, until the subconscious is made conscious, it's running the show. So if it remains subconscious, and let's go with the definition of subconscious. I got onto the online dictionary there this morning. I had my own deep understanding of it, but yeah, let's go with the definition of it. Subconscious. The definition is the part of the mind of which one is not fully aware, but which influences one's actions and feelings. So again, in the definition, it's the part that you're not fully aware of. Your subconscious mind, you're not fully aware of it, but it's influencing your actions and feelings. Now, the subconscious intention, it's a part, I'll go deep into it in my practice with my queen. This awareness, this practice of becoming aware of my subconscious intentions and being able to own them, it's up there. God, I think it's in the top two or three tools and self-awareness exercises that I use pretty much on a daily basis to build trust with my queen, with my kids. It's one of the highest leverage self-awareness practices I believe any man can do. So that's subconscious intention, something that you want and plan to do. So when you mix them together, a subconscious intention is, it's a part of your mind of which you're not fully aware that is wanting or planning to do something, to say something. So there's this subconscious intention bubbling away in the background on many different topics. And it's planning to do something and it's wanting to do something and say something, take an action. So until you bring that conscious, it's really destructive. Now, if you are like myself of years ago, and I hear this so often, definitely, guys, in the beginning, and I sort of laugh, and plenty of guys I've heard, and myself in the past, were, it's like, we keep all of this stuff bubbling away in the background and we actually think that we have the perfect poker face in the world. It's like, I'm actually pretty good at hiding my emotions. You know, I'll hear guys on intro calls and guys early in the work and it's like, oh, you know, I've classically been very good at hiding my emotion, hiding what's going on inside of myself. And I chuckle because it's like, you're not. Not one of you listening in are good at hiding your emotions. Have you ever had your queen ask you, it's like, oh, you okay, honey? Everything okay? And what do you say? Classic. Yeah, I'm fine. And that's where you're thinking you are like the world champion poker player. You're like, I've I've pulled the wool over her eyes one more time. She's not fucking asking you. She's screaming on the inside going, I know, you know, from a nanosecond of you coming in the door that there's something going on with you and I'm just hoping that you'll arrive there by yourself. Our subconscious intentions are driving signs that our body is transmitting a message constantly that's evoking a response. But if you break it down, I had to break presence down. I really want to get this practical in your mind so you hopefully can't ignore the relevance of this. Again, that arrogant part of the mind that goes, oh, no, but Mark hasn't seen my poker face. It's like, well, if you're listening into this podcast, you're clearly not so good at hiding your emotions. And if you are, it's like brutally ineffective. And the thing is, if you're hiding your emotions, like a lot of guys do, or unskillful at transmitting them, communicating them, it's like it's deeply unsafe for your queen to be around. Hence, you're listening in. So why it's so important to become conscious about the subconscious is, as again, repetition is mastery. It's driving your mind. It's driving your behaviors. It's driving your speech. So you gotta, if it's subconsciously intending in ways that are gnarly, that are judgmental, that aren't so safe, it's communicating through your nervous system anyway. It's taking over the message in your body, because in Heroic Husbands men's circles, if you were doing work with me in group or one-on-one, we have a checklist for presence, or you can even say a checklist for resistance, for gnarly shit happening on the inside that you're just like out to get your queen. You're not in the flow of love and understanding and compassion and empathy. You're the opposite. Stillness, we talk about breath and subconscious intention. Well, I'm going to obviously speak about subconscious intention, but your breathing. If your subconscious intention is gnarly, and a lot of times there are these gnarly things, judgmental things, you just want to run out the door. You just want to scream. Your breathing will be much shallower and more rapid. And your queen doesn't necessarily have to be a breathwork, you know, practitioner to notice this or have training in noticing consciously what your breathing is. But her nervous system will pick this up. We have this primal part of the nervous system that picks up somebody breathing slowly, deeply. It's more calming to be with. So her nervous system is subconsciously, and probably parts of it consciously, picking this up. Sight, your eyes. If you've got a subconscious intention that's planning something gnarly, that you're there thinking, yeah, well, my speech, what I'm saying to my queen is quite tidy. I'm actually saying to her, oh, hey, honey, yeah, I want to talk about this. But your subconscious intention is, I've got to get that fucking door to work. The subconscious is taking over, will communicate through your nervous system to her that what you're saying and what you're actually thinking deep down inside of yourself is completely different. Because let's say in that example of, you know, oh, you know, you say to her, yeah, honey, I'd like to talk about that now. But your subconscious intention is, get the fuck out the door to work. Get off to jiu-jitsu practice. You've missed, you know, two sessions in the last week. You didn't want to miss this one tonight. So your subconscious intention is getting out the door. But you don't say it to her and you don't own it fully. And you're being a nice guy and you realize she needs to talk about this thing. So your conscious intention is, hey, I want to hold space for you, baby. I want to be here. But the subconscious intention is already packing the bag, is already halfway down the motorway to the jiu-jitsu gym. What will happen is the subconscious intention, first of all, your breathing would be more rapid. Your sight, your eyes are going to glance to the clock. They're going to glance to your phone on the table just to check, oh God, what time is it? You know, like your eyes won't be fully engaged with your queen. And funny enough, when you're not engaged with your queen, what does she want more of? You. You know, a conversation that could be 10 minutes. Now you're missing jiu-jitsu. You're missing what you want to do. You're missing what the subconscious is intending to do, because you didn't own it. And the subconscious intention took over your nervous system. And your queen can't trust you. So she's not happy with 5 or 10 minutes of you holding space for her. And she won't be happy it becomes a 2-hour conversation. Because she's feeling the lack of authenticity through you. You're not owning the subconscious intention. Shape and state. Your posture, like your eyes glance to the clock, glance to the sports bag, glance to the keys of the car, because the subconscious intention is like, I'm going out that fucking door. That's it. I have to. But if you're not bringing it to your queen, she's in this mix of Okay, his eyes are going to the door. His posture, if you're restless, the subconscious intention wants to go. The conscious intention is to be fully with your queen. The subconscious will win because you'll be with her, sort of. And then touch base with yourself. Does this sound live? If when I've been speaking with guys in front of me, near every single one has their version of this. You're like, yeah, fuck. We're just a nice guy. There's almost this all-pervasive nice guy persona in modern society where we have. I've done deep dives on this before, so it's not to go into the whole mechanism of it, but predominantly parenting influence was through our moms, dads, predominantly were working. I know you can sort of say some of you will have unique circumstances where that were different, but in general, our moms, there was more of that maternal feminine energy that we got, and in school, first few years, it's predominantly Western society. It's female teachers that met us. So we ended up in our formative years predominantly relating to feminine energy. And feminine energy is one half of it. It's the there was no yin and yang. There was just feminine. Like, where is that masculine grounding energy? We didn't meet that till later on. We come to reconnect with our dads, in adulthood, or try to reconnect, and hopefully somewhere along the line we might have some masculine male mentors in sports, a wrestling coach, something like that. But not in her formative years. The vast majority of men have no guy that they can look back and go, he was my mountain in the storm. I learned about masculine energy from him. He consciously brought me through and helped me ground in the gnarly parts of me, in the power, in my leadership, in my courage, in my taking extreme ownership. All of these incredible masculine attributes. So early on, we ended up disconnecting from our authentic self. And a massive portion of our authentic self is, it's our truth. It's that masculine essence. So we, and this is true for women as well, but we severed our connection from sacred parts of our being, and we learned again and again and again that part of my truth is not okay. At home, your intention is to be bright and bubbly, and then you're told, oh, quiet down. Your dad comes in from work, your mom is trying to listen to something on the TV, she's on the phone. Oh, hey, would you stop being so loud? So we turn the volume down significantly on a ton of our expression. We disconnect from our authentic self. We learn some portions of our expression that comes through us are too much, too loud, too often, too aggressive, too energetic, too passionate, too joyful, too happy, too f just too much talking, or not enough. Another portion is you're just not enough. You're not enough. If you cry, you're not enough. You're expressing some part of yourself. So in that disconnection from our authentic self, there's a deep trauma in our psyche, and this is where subconscious intentions actually come. Because the subconscious intentions are deep parts of your expression that are true for you. It's like at the front desk of your mind, there's this sentinel, there's this person that is 24/7 making a judgment of, is this appropriate or not? Is this going to be welcomed? This humans in front of you, like you've learned years ago, like this is why I'm at the front desk. I'm subconsciously 24/7 just making a judgment about, no, I don't think it's a good idea to bring that. That like you needn't, you shouldn't express that. That's not going to be welcome. Your anger is not going to be welcome. Frustration, sadness, grief, any intentions like that. So there's this part of you, guaranteed, every single one of you. I want to touch base with you. Or in that description of it, do you get in your human experience that there's some part of your psyche 24/7 censoring, trying to do this job of guessing what will be received by your queen or not? Again, I can only go with guys that are in front of me. there's a lots of nodding heads. They're like, yeah, God, it's like a full-time job. I'm trying to please her all the time, and I'm trying to guess. And there's part subconscious, conscious that obviously interplays, but I'm trying to guess what's the right thing to do. I'm trying to say the right thing, do the right thing, and then I end up just doing all of these things. Like I just bombard her with doing a whole heap of things to try and make sure that she's fine. We end up with that tension point because there's so much of her truth that we are scared shitless to share, and that becomes subconscious. And as I say, it drives our behavior. It drives the restlessness in our nervous system. The stillness, the breathing is off. The eyes are communicating, I don't want to be. Your shape, state, hey, all the emotions, there's frustration, there's aggression, there's anxiety, there's a ton of stuff going on in the background. There's grief, there's just a general sense of being pissed off, but you're not owning it. And but that's driving your posture, and then your story ends up on the inside again. Might be tidy words on the outside, but your inner story is blaming. It's she should fucking know better, blah blah blah. Now, I want to touch base with you for a moment. There's a way to practice with these that will increase exponentially the amount of trust that your queen has with you and how safe she can feel in your presence. Safety is like the peak need. Feminine needs are feeling seen, heard, and safe. In this movement, in my teaching approach, I've coined an acronym for SAFE to, in the expectation I will, when it drops in for you guys, it'll make sense. SAFE is secure, authentic, full expression. Your queen is yearning to be able to express her full, authentic, full expression with you in a safe way, in a space that is safe where she can bring whatever she brings and you'll hold space for it. You won't be frazzled by it. You mightn't necessarily agree with it, but you're not going to attack her. You're not going to get defensive. You'd be like, okay, well, that's true for you. So one of the most powerful things to do to improve her trust that she can start owning and speaking and expressing her full truth is you lead that dance. But you've got to, and this is where shadow work comes in. I want to slow down with you and, theoretically, I don't want this to be a theoretical thing. As much as possible within the realms of and limitations of a podcast episode. But again, I'm literally here. If you looked at me, I'm like subconsciously intending that I'm in front of you as an audience and I'm looking at you and engaging with you. Imagining that you're in an audience in front of me, I'm like, well, let's slow down. Because I know working with guys, very often in the beginning, guys can go, God, subconscious intention. I get the idea. But like to have some examples of what that actually means. Some examples for myself. When I started doing this, raising my awareness of what was subconscious going on, first of all, like that, I realized, man, there's that censorship at the front desk. It's 24/7 going. Subconscious intentions, and I still do have subconscious intentions that come true. And what I realized was I had to get okay with owning within myself without shame, without judgment, with full acceptance that there was a part of me that was a bit of an gnarly cunt. Not so nice. If I gave that part, a name, it's like it's my gnarly cunt part. He like a real part that would take people down, that would judge, that would blame, that would, he's just like was completely self-centered, like it was out to protect me, and that's like at all cost type thing, like a real sleazy, the sleaziest politician in the world, that, you know, tidy face out front, but you just know they're an absolute son of a bitch behind the scenes. It's like I had the worst of the worst of the worst of that part. So it was getting to a part of accepting that there is this part of me, but it doesn't mean that that is me, but it's there. And having a flash lamp to look at it and go, ah, okay, so what is it that you're wanting to say? And when I took judgment out of it, when I took morality out of it, when I took this idea that, God, if I actually accept that that part actually wants to say that or intends to do that, even if my conscious part would never even consider that, I've got to look at this. I started noticing that it's like, man, when I was with my queen, hey, it's like there was a part of me intending to just tap, run from marriage. There was a part of me that wanted to just scream my head off at her for certain things. There was a part of me that the subconscious intention was to scream and roar to the point at which she'd just stop getting new horses because I was sick of these exponentially increasing amount of horses. There was a subconscious intention in me to like rip her head off verbally when she would speak to the girls in a certain way that seemed very much like she was just being her mother, who was an abusive narcissistic woman. There's subconscious intentions in parenting. I realized, like, God, I just want to scream at the girls. I'm sick of the place being untidy. I just want to scream and tell them straight, old-fashioned parenting, cut that crap out. I never want to see a mess around here again. There was, you know, money-wise, I started realizing, God, there was these subconscious intentions of, I just want to jump out the window. I think I shared this in the podcast before. Subconscious intention was, I want to jump out the window when I'm at the accountant's. There's a subconscious intention that I never want to have to deal with any of the money paperwork. Backstory, there was tons of money trauma growing up, a lot of poverty, tons of stress around money. So it's like my nervous system, the subconscious intention was to run from any envelope, any letter, any email, any conversation, any dealings on the topic of money. So I started realizing that there's a ton of stuff going on in the background, Mark. And again, from there, I started realizing, okay, well, I'm not hiding that. I'm not hiding it well. I thought I was hiding it. But then the 5-point checklist of presence or lack of presence of resistance came. It was like I started realizing, well, if I'm hiding that, my breathing is letting my queen know anyway. If I'm trying to hide that, my eyes are letting her know anyway that I don't want to be here or I don't want to be talking about money. You know, the subconscious intention of just run from the conversation about accounts. It was always trumping. I could say to my queen, many times I did, it's like, okay, you know, let's have that conversation. Or more often than not, she would like, hey, we need to have that conversation. You know, it seems like you've been avoiding it. Again, it seems like you've been avoiding. My subconscious intention was driving my behavior. I would be telling her, and touch base with yourself on a practical level, are there any topics of conversation where your queen would come to you, hey, can we talk about, you know, your parents coming over for Thanksgiving. Can we talk about that? And you're like, yeah, we talk later. But the subconscious intention is you're avoiding that, or the topic of money, the topic of parenting, the topic of you changing your work, the topic of asking for a promotion. You might say, I'm going to talk with the boss today about, you know, asking for the raise, or, you know, talk that chat about the promotion, you know, that I know you've been saying it to. I'm going to talk today. But your subconscious intention is you're not. Can you touch base, guys, with yourselves that on a practical level, that there are these subconscious intentions that are driving the show, that you don't have that conversation, that you're avoiding the conversation with your queen or some other conversation? Avoidance of conversations is a really great sign of subconscious intentions in the background. It's one of the most common ones. There can be avoidance of making love, avoidance of intimacy, Again, subconscious intentions is like you want to be a loving guy, you want to be loving and affectionate, but the subconscious intention is that there's something gnarly, there's some gnarly bastard part of you in the background that is resenting your queen for something. So the subconscious intention drives it. You struggle to be affectionate with her. And if you are affectionate with her, she doesn't feel it fully. The hug is not a complete hug. Have you ever hugged your queen but you're not completely hugging her? You're ticking a box, the nice guys, because you know you sort of have to be nice, or you invite her on a date night, but you don't actually want to be on that date night because there's some subconscious intention going, I just want to fucking have it out with you because I felt so disrespected the other day. Again, I'm going off the assumption here that this is hitting home for you. For most guys, it does. So what are your subconscious intentions that are driving in the background of your mind? You know, it's essential that, you know, Carl Jung, pretty much like the grandfather of shadow work, he spoke about, you know, it's you don't become enlightened by, you know, just sitting in the light of conscious awareness. It's only when you take on your shadow, which is your subconscious mind, and you integrate that fully. It's like there's sort of this spiritual dogfight to reclaim all of your parts without any judgment. You know, what are the parts of you that, you know, from that intention, a part of you that wants or plans to do something that you wouldn't want to admit straight off? You know, there can be subconscious intentions that, you know, sexual attractions, that's another major one. That guys would feel that it's immoral, it's wrong, you know, all the shaming about male sexuality. You just think with your cocks, you know, you just think with your dicks. This is incredible shaming. So we drive these subconscious intentions deep inside, but if you've got a subconscious intention to screw your colleague at work, again, that's how most affairs end up happening, because it's a subconscious intention. It's too hot to handle. You don't want to fully admit to yourself, yeah, actually, there's a subconscious intention. Like, if I wasn't married, if, you know, whatever, you know, if I didn't have wife and kids, hey, there's that desk. And when she come in, I know what I'd be intending to do. We don't get honest with that. And yet we don't get honest with it. And what happens? It's driving us anyway. So you mightn't, you're like, oh, but I'm a tidy guy. You know, it's a subconscious, but I'm a good guy. But if you get really honest with yourself, your subconscious intention is letting your eyes linger when you meet her eyes longer than it would any other person. Your smile, your laughter, the subconscious intention, it plays with that. Again, working one-on-one with guys, and guys sometimes they'll just admit it to be like, you know, Mark, you know, when you're saying this, totally. You know, it's just the fact that you're speaking to it without any morality, without any judgment. It's like, yeah, there's this woman. Sometimes guys can, on the sexual subconscious intentions, guys can go, they sort of admit. It's like, oh, yeah, you know, I had this attraction in the past. And I follow up. It's like, so I'm just curious, man. It's like, do you have any subconscious intention to screw a woman today? Like, is there any unspoken attraction today? And then they sort of smile. They're like, yeah. You know, it's like, again, there's this hesitation to admit to this part of us or parts of us subconsciously that want to and plan to do things, but we're like, just censor it. So one of the key things of why this causes such an issue is, I've spoken about anger suppression before. We, as nice guys, with the nice guy persona, we suppress our anger, and our anger, very often, our anger comes up. It's this fiery emotion that comes up. If You feel it where you feel it. I feel it in my tummy. There's this heat that comes. So it comes up, and very often, well, actually exclusively, without any exception, there's a part of your truth that is wanting to come true. Because your queen, her intention, she wants to do something, she's planning to do something, and she wants you co-involved in a conversation. Can you do that? Can you pick the kids up? And your subconscious intention was something else. Anger comes up. But we end up suppressing the anger because we were taught growing up, anger is wrong from our moms, anger is wrong from our female teachers. Excuse me. And we had no male mentors, full, proper, grounded male mentors to go, hey, man, you know, anger is essential. Gandhi changed the world because he respected his anger. You know, it's like, you named him. Nelson Mandela, Abraham Lincoln, you know, like, anger is the spiritual juice of all spiritual juices, son. You know, you got to express that in the first wave, because every wave of anger you have, there's something important about your truth that you need to own, your need, etc., etc. So the subconscious anger almost always will point to some subconscious intention to speak your truth, to own your truth, to do something, to say something, and you ignore it. And then that anger suppressed becomes frustration, and a filing cabinet of frustration every single time on that topic and many different topics that you suppress your anger. You don't learn more about what's actually true, what's trying to come through you. The filing cabinet of frustration gets fuller and fuller and fuller and fuller to some point that with minimal triggering needed, the filing cabinet of frustration just explodes out. And now you're screaming at your kids. Now the own subconscious intention to screw your coworker. Now you've just taken so much and now you're now having an affair, or you're now the subconscious intention to one of the guys in the work, he was like the his queen's dog shitting around the place. I had good fun with him there yesterday. I'm not going to mention his name, but if you're listening, man, you know who you are. I'm having a beautiful recollection of some amazing work that we were doing together yesterday. So it was like the subconscious intention comes out, the filing cabinet bursts open, and then the dog does one more poo, or the dog even farts and you get the smell, and it hasn't done a shit, but you get the smell and you're like, oh god damn, that dog, like, I'm gonna kick that dog out, you know. And it's the minimal triggering needed. You've gone to aggression. Now you're attacking the dog, you're attacking your queen, and it's really untidy. The subconscious intention will surface at some point. It's always there in the background, subconsciously, as I say, it's always there, and your queen can read it from your breathing being off, your eyes being off, your posture shifting. She can see and feel a million miles away that your story, you've this gnarly, subconscious, murky shit going on. So it's always there, but behaviorally and verbally, it will explode out eventually. But only if you allow it remain subconscious. And this is where the practice comes. I want to honor you guys for listening in. This is really juicy stuff. I'm hoping that you're engaging with it. It's my expectation. If you're being honest with yourself, there's a lot going on in this episode. If you're being honest with yourself. Again, heroic humility. The grounded truth of where you're truly at. You're not here. One of the great barriers is this part of our psyche that's wanting to prove we're good guys. But I'm a good man, Mark. You know, I'm not going to... I don't have that type of stuff, you know. I might have my struggles in my community. I might have, you know, struggles in certain things, but I don't have these, that gnarly cunt part. It's like, oh, okay, cool. My question is, well, how's your marriage working out? Subconscious is driving the whole fucking show. Until you bring it conscious. And this is the practice. When I started realizing and practicing with my queen, I had this foundational realization and acceptance, guys, that has single-handedly transformed my marriage more than any other realization I've had. Which is, hiding my truth clearly wasn't fucking working. My authentic full expression, I was hiding it and tons of it. hiding it from myself, from my queen, from the world. And my entire persona was aimed at trying to, well, in relating with my queen, trying to please her and avoid at all costs any chance of evoking her rejection, her upset, her displeasure with me. And I just went rational-minded, like cold, objective, rational-minded, black and white thinking. I love binary thinking. And the realization was, my entire persona is created from childhood to hide my full authentic expression, because it got hurt, it got shit on, it got like trampled on unwittingly, you know, family of origin, teachers, society, friends, whatever. And my persona learned that a ton of my expression is not welcome. So its entire design is to avoid fully expressing myself. And I realized, well, that's just not fucking working, is it? I looked at my marriage, I looked at how all my communications with my queen were going, and I'm like, well, she's intoxicated, like early days, she's become intoxicatingly in love with this guy, because he met her there, he saw her, he made her feel heard, and hey, it was fucking easy for him, and he wasn't exactly a practitioner, but I made it really easy for him. So foundationally, it's like, Mark, hiding your truth is not working. Yes, there's a part of you scared shitless, and justifiably so from childhood, because you have that part of, like, your nervous system has plenty of reason to believe that hiding truth is a good idea because of childhood. But it's like, you're now in your mid-30s, you've got two kids, you've got a beautiful wife, and the bottom is about to fall out of the ship. Like, I mean, you're about to go south, majorly, irreversibly. And it's all, you know, you've been hiding your truth obsessively and hiding these shitty parts, and it's not working. So my rational mind went, guys, well, what if I try doing the opposite? There's a part in Seinfeld, the comedy. I didn't follow it much, but I saw this. Actually, it was in Men's Work. It was Conor Beaton in Men's Work had shared it in an email I got. It was this clip of Seinfeld where, oh, what the fuck do you call the little George? Yeah, I think it was George. Any of you Seinfeld fans, you know, say, if I'm getting it wrong, I apologize. I believe it was George, the bald dude. And there's the episode where George goes, you know, he's there, he's depressed, he's grumpy, he's feeling fat, he's feeling ugly, he's living with his mom, he's no money, he's no woman, he's just down in his luck. And then the whole scene goes, it's like, maybe you should try the opposite. Just do the polar opposite. And like, Jerry's there going, well, like, George goes, everything in my life, I've been doing everything wrong. Nothing is right. I'm a constant failure. And Jerry goes, well, what if you try the opposite? If everything you do in your life is wrong, well, what if you just do the opposite? And the whole story goes, the whole episode goes, is George starts doing the opposite. He goes up to the woman at the counter. He orders a different sandwich, etc., etc. And hey, lo and behold, he comes in. He's like fancily dressed, full of confidence, full of daring and boldness. I had that realization where I end up going, I realize, well, it's driving this thing anyway. I was reading certain things and I had certain realizations of shadow work. So I took a chance and I started owning this part of me. And my practice became, I wouldn't hide from my queen anymore. And I would represent different parts of me, and I'd own them. And if there was a part of me that I recognized, oh man, I just want to scream, like these horses, the horses stories, you probably have heard me, I bring it up, it's been a major part of my growth as a man. Like an example for, you know, if stuff came up about the horses, you know, for years, there was a part of me wanting to scream. There was a part of me wanting to go, just sell the fucking horses. There was a part of me just wanting to say, hey, I just want to say to you, like for years, I want to say, the only fucking reason that you're buying and keeping all these horses because it's the only way you can keep connected with your mom. It's the only topic you can talk about. So stop telling me about all of these other fancy reasons you're going to train them. It's like, it's not. It's just purely to keep relating with your mom. What I did was, when the topic of horses came up, I practiced like this. It's like, baby, okay, I can't talk about horses. To start off, I want to own that there's a part of me that on this topic just wants to scream. There's a part of me that is pulling my fucking hair out on this topic. There's a part of me that wants so much to say, stop telling me about all of these wonderful visions and intentions that you have about the horses to do this training yard and stuff, that it's all to do about your mom. You, and it's the only way you can keep connected with your mom. I just want to say that. That is subconsciously in the background years. I want to own at the beginning of this so you can feel safe. There's a part of me that has that very life. And it's also true that I want to have a current conversation and get curious about where you're at with this. It has astounded me, guys. When I've owned it like that, like the subconscious intention, some of you could sort of email me in if you're getting a call, if you're like in part of the groups, and you could send me a voice message. I tried that, Mark. I listened to the episode and she shot me down. It's in the delivery. Part of the subconscious intention is your work is to take all the nasty judgment out that subconscious intention means you're a bad person. That's all exclusively conditioning from childhood. You know, there's a part of me is planning. You know, it's like, again, the intention is something that you want or plan to do. You know, I'd say to my queen, a conversation would come up and whatever, I'd feel triggered. And I'd say to her, my communication three-piece, the like masculine mastery communication system, I try and find fancy words for it, it's own. Curious truth. Own is the first part. You know, I get triggered in conversation with my queen. You'll hear things like this come out from me. Say, hey, baby, a part of me is planning on arguing to the death that I'm right and you're wrong. Just want to let you know. And I laugh. And she laughs at this point. And she did begin laughing. Like she found it a bit weird in the beginning, just the first couple of tries. But when she realized that I was following that ownership of that part up, with a genuine curiosity. You know, hey, baby, there's a part of me planning an argument to the death that I'm right, you're wrong. Like, there's a part of me that's just full blame off you in this moment. But I'm curious, baby. What's life for you on this? I'd followed up and it would be so grounded that she didn't mind. And I've learned since that what happens when you own and you verbalize a part of you that's going on in the subconscious, you bring the subconscious live, and there can be this gnarly emotional state that you speak to, this gnarly emotionally driven thing that you want to do or that you plan to do, etc., etc. When you bring that to the surface, your amygdala, which is the center of emotional activity, reactivity in the nervous system, when there's high emotional charge, amygdala activity is really hot under functional MRI. Once you bring it verbally and cognitively and you recognize and own and like you verbalize what that part is, it's going, oh, a part of me wants to scream with frustration. The amygdala immediately, within a nanosecond, dampens. It downregulates. It cools down. And I have felt that time and time again. It's like when the subconscious intention is, I just want to fucking run out the door. It's like my subconscious intention is, I just want to go off to training. My subconscious intention coming in was, I was wanting to go for a walk. And I didn't fully recognize what my need was, but there was a subconscious intention of some free time, some go for a dog for a walk, have a bath, chill time. Subconscious intention was just some fucking peace and quiet because I've had a major intense meeting there at the end. When I that would be driving me, So I come in and see, returning home is a real key moment, practically to practice with what your subconscious intention is and bring it to the surface. Because returning home, very often guys will have a subconscious intention. Oh, I just want to chill. Just want to relax. Just want 10 fucking minutes to myself. God, half an hour, if I could get that, how peaceful would that be? But it's a subconscious intention. And that's why we come in the door and we haven't fully sat with what's my intention going in here? Like, what do I want? What am I planning to do when I go in? Again, this is bringing the subconscious conscious. We felt bastardized out of meeting our needs, owning our needs, expressing our needs growing up. So we end up with subconscious intentions to meet them, but we don't own them. Before going in home, touch base with yourself. Hey man, he's like, well, what's your subconscious intention? What's your intention going in here? What's something that you want and you plan to do? And now you're in the realm of conscious mind. You're like, oh well, I've had a stressful day at work, and I plan to have a shower and settle myself, and then I'd be fully with my queen and kids. It's now conscious, so you can go in the door, and you can own that with your queen. Your queen comes and is like, "Hey, can you take the kids? The baby's crying." And like, you can meet her there and go, "Hey, baby, I do want to speak. That I have a conscious intention that I just want to have a bath, like a shower to chill out, and then I can be fully with you. Can that work for you?" Most of the times, your queen is going to meet you there because it's conscious, it's owning, it's safe for her. And then the odd time she's like, or you can follow your ownership with curiosity. It's like, hey, baby, it seems that you're feeling like really overwhelmed. Yeah, I am overwhelmed. Okay, well, baby, can I mind the kids for half an hour and then I go for that shower? Can that work for you? Can you get a little bit of chill time? I'll have my shower, and after my shower, baby, I'll come on charge. I'll mind them. It's the subconscious intention is conscious. Yet how often have you come in from work where the subconscious intention, what you're wanting and planning to do, you haven't owned it, and then you get ratty, you get resistant, you get argumentative, you get upset. It's like, oh God, she's put this on me, and she doesn't understand me, she doesn't listen to me, blah blah blah. Subconscious intention drives the ship. So from the practice of it, guys, I would encourage you, if I was working with you in Deep Men's Circle, HeroCosmos Men's Circles are one in one, it's to start owning that part internally within yourself and express it to your queen. There may be some things like the sexual intention where that's on your own practice. Hey, if you want to practice and you bring it to your queen and you want that safe, it's okay. Use tact with what you own verbally with your queen. Definitely own it inside of yourself. And when you deliver it, when you own it with your queen, bring it and follow it up with the conscious part of you. It's like a part of me wants to scream at the kids for the mess on the floor. But hey, baby, also, the conscious part of me actually just wants to be, a good dad and, teach them discipline in an open-hearted way. You'll find that when you start leading with this as your practice, with no judgment, and even if your queen goes, oh, there's that part of you, sometimes in the beginning it can be a little bit jarring for your queen to have you groundedly admit that. But the more groundedly you admit it, the less jarring it will come. But you practice that, you own it, and then you follow up with your conscious intention, which is the more grounded part of you. Clearly, you don't want to scream. You know that's not conducive, but you own that part. And then you follow up with conscious intention, you will find invariably that your queen starts opening up with you about what's really life with her. She will start feeling safe to go, oh God, I just want some time to my, like, whatever. I just want to fucking scream. I want to get away from here. Oh, there's a part of me who wants to run out the door and just not come back. But she'll be more grounded in it. And because you're not judging your subconscious intentions and you're bringing them conscious, you're not going to judge any part of her for having these gnarly parts. You know, she'll be then able to go, God, I just want to rip you to shreds for what you're after doing. Like, that's just, you're not going to judge her, because you will energetically, psychologically know that's a part of her that is needing to express. You won't take it personal. You'll have a context inside of yourself. It's a part of her. That's okay. I have my gnarly parts. It doesn't mean that it's all of me. I'm not defined by all of me. But this gnarly part doesn't define all of me. But I've got to own it. I've got to reintegrate it. From that practice, my kingly brothers, you become the safest human being to be around. Again, your queen wants, and you want, your feminine core has the need to feel seen, heard, and safe. But definitely your queen. She needs to have a man who is a true mountain in the storm. And the mountain in the storm is, like, your storm is your wounds. The storm is wounds, woman, and world, but the woman and world is on the outside. The most important part that you need to practice being a mountain with is your wounds. It's what's happening inside of you. And what your wound is fundamentally in this profoundly sick society that you've grown up, I've grown up, we've all grown up in, is your core wound is that you became disconnected from your authentic self. And part of that authentic self, because it's been so imprisoned, it's gnarly. It's wanting to be heard, and it's screaming, and it's kicking, and it's not so tidy in the background. But when you allow that tap flow, and your nervous system goes, well, there is that part, and there is that part, and this is sort of wants this, and wants to scream, and it wants to walk out the door, and it wants to self-implode. It just wants to curl up in a ball and cry. It just wants to, and you let that flow, your nervous system is going to be way more grounded. You're going to be in the realm of nothing phases you, because if nothing phases you on the inside and you accept all of yourself, well, ultimately, you're not going to be triggered by very much on the outside, because you're good with it all. That is masculine practice. That is practicing non-judgmental awareness of what is. And when you start owning that groundedly, you can't land any of these owned parts. It's not ownership if you land it like a fearful, defensive, aggressive, arrogant little prick. You know, you don't, you land it with a nastiness to it. You land it the way I have verbalized it here. Super grounded. There's this part of me that just wants to run out the door, baby. But hey, that's the subconscious part. The conscious part of me wants to have a beautiful conversation with you. I'm curious. You practice that, guys. You will see an unfoldment of the most beautiful marriage reconnection that you could ever imagine. Because why is it so simple? The greatest yearning in the heart and soul of husbands and wives is the feeling that your authentic full expression can flow. It's what heals us. It's what reconnects us to the juice of life, of who we are, and of the infinite possibility that exists to bring your full expression back to life. You practice like that, you're giving full permission and explicitly creating a secure, authentic, full expression space, a safe space. Nothing is more powerful to not only turn your marriage around, but to create the foundation where it's not just to sort of save it, but to survive, it's to thrive long term in the infinite game of life, where it's just stunning what comes true. Foundational practice, guys. This is the foundation. There's still, coming into landing here, there are still spaces. There's 5 groups in Heroic Husbands Men's Circles. Incredible work done from the first founding members of 6 members about, 15, 16 months ago. 5 groups now. Still a few spaces left there at the introductory price. that price is going up early new year. So hey, best time to plant a tree 20 years ago, second best time today. Not tomorrow, not the next day. Procrastination kills marriages, kills the juice of life. Act today. It's in podcast description, the link for booking your free application call for Heroic Husbands Men's Circles. Coming into landing with full love, full appreciation for your time, your attention, not to me in this podcast, but to you. If you're listening in, which you are clearly, you're doing this for you, to reclaim your full truth, to reclaim your full freedom, to reclaim your heart, your soul, that has been imprisoned by a profoundly sick society. You're reclaiming your truth. And from there, you're going to have an astounding effect upon your queen, your kids, and the next seven generations after you. In perfect alignment with the mantra for movement. Better husbands today, better world tomorrow. Go have an amazingly beautiful kingly day.